Hi, it's Cassidy.
And April.
And we are the hosts of the podcast Dress, the History of Fashion.
Join us to learn all about the who, what, when, of why we wear.
Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Costa and Richards. The NFL is back. The Chargers start strong.
To the five, to the end zone. Chargers win it.
Is Lamar Jackson for real?
Baker and the Browns get stumped.
Over the line. Now throws it to the end zone for the touchdown. Delaney Walker.
Yes, the boys did need Zeke.
Elliott gets in on the fun. Touchdown, Dallas.
Antonio Brown is with the Patriots. Just another week in the NFL, right?
That's enough to get a whole lot started.
We're reacting to the first NFL Sunday all day, and it starts now.
Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues.
Here are Mike Costa and Judson Richards.
Boy, I love that. Oh! Just would like to begin this morning with congratulating the New England Patriots on being Super Bowl 54 champions.
Don't say it.
The dynasty continues.
Oh, God.
It's amazing. They made it through an entire season winning by double digits, 19-0. Unbelievable. Costa, good morning, my friend.
Oh, my God. As great as this weekend was, we're going to get the Aztecs win over UCLA.
Yes.
And the season opening up for real. Yes, it opened up this last Thursday, but the full slate of games this weekend. And then to have it end Sunday night in the fashion it did, with the Patriots just curb stomping the boys from Pittsburgh. And I got, normally I'm not depressed when I'm watching football, but that's all I could think of what you just said. Son of a B.
Yeah.
Do we just pencil in the Chiefs and the Pats right now in the AFC Championship game?
No, I'm not ready to do that.
Darn it.
A lot can happen. I think the injury to Tyreek Hill reminds you that all these guys are human, but today is Overreaction Monday. Today is actually, I do think today is the ultimate of all Overreaction Mondays, because as we move along further into the season, you get 8 games in, you get 10 games in, you have a better idea of who somebody is. I mean, if someone is 2-8 and 8-2, okay, we have a pretty good idea who they are. Whether they're 0-1 and 1-0, you don't really know who they are. But I love this Overreaction Monday. Would love to get you in. As you said, Costa, Rocky Long will join us at 7:30 after a big time San Diego State win over the Bruins, first time ever. They were 0-21-1. We will celebrate with Rocky. He got the Gatorade bath thrown on him.
A little chilly.
It's a lot of fun watching that locker room after the game. He'll join 7:30. Nick Hardwick, the most astute football talk you will get maybe anywhere, coming up a full hour. Nick Hardwick in studio at the 8 o'clock hour. Fletch, good morning to you, my friend.
What's up, boys?
Shout out to Fletch, Brent back in studio. We are still kind of warming up to the season, and this was the first road game that we did for the Aztecs broadcast. So those two guys did a terrific job, and
it sounded really good.
Busy day, boy, in Pasadena, Costa. Saturday,
yeah,
that's a long haul, 160 miles.
It's a trek.
I mean, I was in the car well over 3 hours coming back. It was easy getting up there. Coming back was a trek, but every second of it was worth it.
It was it was awesome to listen to, and it just to, you know, be an alum and being part of their flagship radio station. And it was just, listen, it's the second game of this season. I get it. Still long season for the Aztecs, and they're going to have plenty of stern tests as the season unfolds. But to finally kind of brush off that UCLA specter after coming up short so many times. And they have been close in games with UCLA. I've gone to many UCLA games where the Bruins have absolutely just blown them off the field. And to have it happen, and to have it happen in the Rose Bowl and in the heat, and what was it, easily high 90s on the field? You were down there.
Yeah, it said Pasadena 91 for the city itself. Oh. And so I think you know what it's probably like when you're inside that cement bowl.
It's called a convection oven.
It was, at the very least, 95, 96.
Easily.
Yeah, I mean, those big fog machines.
Yeah, oh, they're nice.
That was the most popular place to be.
Well, and you know, UCLA used to be on what is the east side of the Rose Bowl for the longest time. And which means the opposing team used to be in the shade once the shadows would start creeping over, and they have since flipped that. And I've always wondered that, why they would be sitting in the sun the whole time when the other team would get the shade. So yeah, the Aztecs were in the sun. They were out in the sun most of the day, but a win is a win, and obviously the Heat did not deter them from beating the Bruins.
You know, I did not call that victory. I had a really good inkling leading up to the game that they were going to win. I'll tell you why at 6:30 when we talk more about that. And just a great outing. Jeff Horton, offensive coordinator, they get 23 points. I mean, a really, really terrific bounce back by Ryan Agnew, a quarterback. I thought he showed some real guts, some real gall in that performance. But let's begin here again. It's week one overreaction. Let's overreact together. All right.
It's over, man.
What is your biggest reaction, or what do you expect to be today's biggest overreaction? And I'll explain. What do you think people will miss on the most? You know, will they decide that the Browns are going to go 1-15?
Yeah, I think that's one of them.
Is Lamar Jackson going to be the 2019 NFL MVP? Is that the overreaction?
That's a great one.
570-1360. Text line open as well. 70470. Begin with XTRA. Now, you, Costa, who often, you know, you get the backyard to go play in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're a man who has to fight for your space.
Yeah.
You had a really, really sweet Sunday morning.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So the whole time leading up to yesterday, I've been in conversation with one Ben Fletcher. Because it's like, okay, you know, the wife told me we're not renewing NFL ticket. So how am I going to be able to stream my Raiders if it's not one of the national games or
sure.
one of the local games? And so there was that panic sitting in like, oh, my God, how do I do this? How do I do this? And I did stream their final preseason game against the Seattle Seahawks. And there's all sorts of pop-ups and, it freezes. I'm going, I cannot go through a season like this. What do I do? So I started thinking in terms of, okay, let's find the Raider bar in town because you're going to have to go down there and watch the game. So I wake up yesterday morning and I come out and our big, beautiful TV there in the family room and there's a little bow and it says, happy 100th NFL season. The boss renewed NFL Sunday ticket.
Wow.
Just... And as I tweeted out, I couldn't see clearly through my tears of joy, and I just felt so complete. But then you went through this. There is the FOMO or the panic that sits in when you have it all right there in front of you. What do I watch? What do I do? Where do I go? What game do I see?
Now, hold on. It's the 100th NFL season because this is completely lost on me because there was no mention of this over the course of 19 hours of NFL football watched.
Nobody had it on their jerseys. None of the referees had it on their hats. None of the commercial breaks or the previews of games had anything to do with the 100th anniversary.
Nothing.
Yeah, it just kind of took us by surprise.
Yeah, so I actually got DirecTV over UVerse, and because of where I live, I was having a very difficult time getting the strength of the connection needed. Whatever wiring is going on, bless you, my friend.
Sorry.
And so I was told by my cable guy, shout out Jacob, he's like, you really need to get DirecTV.
What's up, Jake?
For the connection in itself. But I was also aware that you get DirecTV the first year you actually do get the Red Zone, the NFL package. It's like a $400 value.
Get it
all. I have never watched, believe it or not, I have never watched a second of Red Zone in my life. I have never had a choice of games. I've never had the mixed channel with four games. I got to tell you, it was a little overwhelming.
It's so overwhelming.
I was like,
you're just,
this is a
again.
Lot. I feel like I'm watching everything and watching nothing all at the same time. I was like, I don't know what audio is going with what game.
Yeah, in the mix.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
That's
like,
where your remote control is your best friend. Just realize when it's highlighted in the light blue, that's what you're listening
right.
to.
But then it shrinks the game, and so yeah. I had to get up and stand right at the television. You see, I'm trying to break down the X's and O's. I'm wondering what kind of coverage
you really need
in.
To be a millennial, because I had two games going on my computer screen in the red zone in the center, and I got everything.
No, I do. It will take some getting used to actually have... You know, it's like when people just want to stick with their flip phone because, like, I just want to text. All that other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I've had six screens going since I was like 6 years old, so it's easier for us, you old guys.
And we got the first topper of the week here at 6:10.
Unbelievable.
Now, Fletch tweets out this picture, and it looks like he's at the desk at NORAD looking for ICBMs that are coming into United States airspace.
I know, and then there's the Christmas light going up to the ceiling. I'm like, this is a...
It was kind of sad.
Sad state of
affairs. Dude, I think everybody, at 844-570-1360, what was your viewing day like yesterday? I had the mix on for a little bit. I had the second mix on for a little bit. And then the good thing is you can just keep on checking your phone or watching what games are close or what games are entertaining. I started off with the Browns and the Tennessee Titans. And, I mean, the Browns came out blistering white hot. And I thought, oh, baby. Okay, They are legit right down the field. Baker Mayfield making great throws. As it ends up, Tennessee just waxed Cleveland yesterday. And I paid attention to the Chiefs and the Jags. And then I lose Tyreek Hill, who is one of my fantasy football players. So that was kind of a bummer.
844-570-1360. I want to let Point Break starts off today. And we're taking the overreaction. 844-570-1360. Point Break, I know that thanks to Extra 1360, you made it up to Pasadena, my friend. Did you have a good time?
Oh, man. That was incredible. The people were amazing. And I don't drink, so it was a whole lot of wasted alcohol. But everyone made up for it. And it was an experience. And I just wanted to thank you guys. And I appreciate everything you guys do. And it was amazing. And I'll never forget it. So thank you for that.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah. Glad you're part of the family and glad you could enjoy it. That's great.
It was nice watching all the suckers in the sun because our seats were in the shade, the only part of the shade. And I've never been so happy to sit so high up in my life.
That's great.
But I wanted to comment on your DirecTV. Welcome to middle class there, bub. How's it feel?
It feels great. Thank you.
Outstanding. And then I have two more things real quick. The Dolphins. As a Dolphins fan, I'd like to congratulate the Patriots on being hated for the rest of my life.
Yes,
that was great news by AB. Thank you so much.
Hey,
and
as a Dolphins fan, are you cool being on the clock already for the upcoming draft?
Bruh, first pick. Let's go.
That was, and Sean, glad you had a blast, buddy. 844-570-1360. We're taking a reaction. How much you enjoyed that opening weekend of the NFL. What will we overreact the most to the most today? 844-570-1360. Rob wants to jump on with us on a Monday. Rob, good morning to you, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, Chargers football is officially back.
Yes.
It came blown a four-quarter lead, end-zone interception, having to go to overtime to win it. You know, everything just lined up perfectly, man. Chargers football is officially back, and I'm more anxious than ever. Can't wait.
You also got the special teams gaffe, the fumble on the punt, which I think a lot of Charger fans have become accustomed to as well.
That's true, but who would have guessed that we would have outkicked the Indianapolis Colts? I mean, a punter coming in and not missing, and out of it a carry, probably the kicker goat, you know, coming out missing extra points.
Yeah, that.
But I'll take it.
I'm not surprised if the Colts pull Adam Vinatieri aside and say, listen, it's been an incredible run, but that run is over. I mean, you talk about he makes those kicks yesterday. They win that football game, obviously. And just a terrible day for him and the Colts as far as their special teams is concerned.
Well, my overreaction is we are going to be the NFL media and NFL fans are going to be having a discussion of Austin Eckler matching or beating out Danley Tomlinson's touchdown record, single season touchdown record. That's my overreaction for week one.
Wow. Okay. We're gonna
say that one more time, please, Rob.
Yeah. So my overreaction is that probably come middle of the season, you know, maybe week 12. Everyone will be talking about how Austin Eckler will likely beat LaDainian Tomlinson's single-season touchdown record.
Which is how many again?
I think it's like 29 or something.
All right, we'll have to look that up. Kasa, you should remember that.
He got off to a good start yesterday, and I think the biggest point, other than Austin Eckler possibly getting past LT's all-time touchdown mark, is that Austin Eckler kind of showed people that Chargers really don't need a guy named Melvin Gordon with what he did yesterday.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about Melvin. I felt like, by the way, Rob, that is that's a heck of an overreaction. I don't know if we're going to get there, but I like the boldness of it. 844-570-1360. You know, there are NFL players, and I would put them more in the Ezekiel Elliott world. Le'Veon Bell world, where you are paying for their ultimate talent because it is so much better than everybody else. And then there are those that thrive off of being the product of a great system. And that doesn't just happen in the NFL, Costa. I mean, there are radio stations where hosts are able to benefit because they are a product of the system that they are in, because everything around them is going really, really well, and they are propped up because of it.
28 and touchdowns for LT.
28 touchdowns. Thank you. Okay, so Rob, so you're right. 29, and he had 3 yesterday, and that would be a chance for him to be able to break it. He's off to a great start, but again, he got a long ways to go to get to 29 touchdowns. But I do think it was a reminder yesterday that Melvin Gordon, more so than his talent in itself, he is a product of his system.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it again. This was a guy, an undrafted rookie free agent, where if Austin Ekeler does not potentially land with the Chargers, I don't know if he sticks in the NFL. He was playing in Gunnison, Colorado. All right? Do you own any Western State gear? Austin Ekeler is a tremendous talent, but he is thriving.
I didn't even know there was a Gunnison, Colorado.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. He is thriving because of the product of the system that he is in.
And I think Melvin Gordon is the product of some really, really bad advice from his agent. And again, this is, we said this narrative was going to, it was going to come to fruition with the Chargers. And we go back to the games they won last year without Melvin Gordon. If Austin Ekeler and the rest of the running backs are serviceable and they're able to help on blitz pickup, and also like Ekeler did many times catching the ball out of the backfield, the Chargers are not going to miss Melvin Gordon.
Overreaction Monday, 844-570-1360. Sinai wants to jump on with us. Sinai, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, kid?
I'm doing all right, man. How about yourself?
Loving it. Living the dream.
Living the dream. That's right. So, first off, I just want to say the Bills are 1-0, and I'm happy about that.
Okay.
And secondly, if it's overreactions, is Lamar Jackson the best sophomore quarterback out there?
Boy, the people that we're talking in terms of him coming out of Louisville is, well, you know, he's going to be a wide receiver in the NFL. He's really not going to be a serviceable quarterback. A lot of people were very quiet yesterday as he was doing what he was doing.
Sinai, I'll ask you, Lamar Jackson threw for 5 touchdowns yesterday. He had 6 all of last year. How much of it is how good Lamar Jackson actually can be as a quarterback, and how much is it because it was against the lowly Dolphins where they're already talking about a mutiny?
Well, the Dolphins are a professional NFL team, so nevertheless, they're still professionals, and Lamar Jackson falls out of control. What I'm not sure about is if they doubted Hollywood and how fast he was, because 2 of those big touchdowns were on 2 big plays.
Are the Dolphins really a professional football team? I think Clemson could give them a game right now.
You're right, Sinai. You're absolutely right.
You play who they schedule you to play.
However,
it's not their fault.
Professionals are also humans.
Yeah.
And so if humans believe that you as an organization have already quit on them, there's a decent chance, whether consciously or subconsciously, they may quit on you. And the rumor is that half the teams are calling their agents. Maybe Antonio Brown has shown them how to do it. But half the team is calling their agents and begging them to talk to the organization to trade them,
you know,
to another team. So professional or not, they're still quit in everybody, whether you're 10 years old or 25 years old, making millions.
The most commonly searched Google term right now of anybody on the Dolphins is how to burn your feet cryogenically.
Yeah, exactly.
Where can I go in Miami today and not wear the boots so I do not have to play the rest of the season?
Offensive language I can call my general manager.
Yeah.
Can get me.
And maybe I just have to swing on the general manager instead of saying I'm going to do it.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll get to Antonio Brown and the Patriots. We are locked and loaded today. Rocky Long at 7:30, Nick Hardwick in studio. At 8 o'clock, we're taking the overreaction of a week 1. Of a really, really fun weekend. We got to talk about the Slovis kid at some point. Maybe I'll say that for best of the weekend. I couldn't turn off the USC-Stanford game.
Yeah, it was a good
one.
Did
you see this kid?
Oh, yeah.
Slovis?
Absolutely nonplussed.
All
is what
hail
they say.
Slovis. Derek wants to weigh in over Reaction Monday. Derek, good morning, man.
Hey, how's it going? I'm a Colts fan that lives in San Diego, and I went to the game yesterday, and I got to tell you, the Chargers were very, very hospitable fans. Everybody treated us with a lot of respect, but I will say it was about 50-50 there in that stadium.
Yeah.
From my perspective. My overreaction, I think Jacoby Brissett is leading the Colts to a playoff run, just as if Andrew Luck was running the team. I mean, we kept the offense the same way. We ran, he looked great. He had a 120 passer rating, 21 for 27. 190 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, an excellent read debut for Jacoby Brissett, so I was super happy to see that. And it almost made me accept the loss and not be too hurt with the loss because we took you guys into.
You know, Derek, I'll tell you what. They did not lose that game because of Jacoby Brissett. They lost that game because of Adam Vinatieri not being able to kick an extra point or a field goal. And there were times I'm watching that game yesterday, Judson, where Jacoby Brissett, I'm watching him make moves with his feet, mm-hmm. extending plays with his feet. And I got to say, I thought he looked better than Andrew Luck.
He also, I think I underrespected his arm. There was a couple of rifles that he threw. One, I think, to Doyle. Where
off his head.
Off of his head. There was also the one in the back. He's back of the end zone. Like, he fit some passes in some really, really tight windows. And that ultimately is the name of the game. I mean, Tom Brady has a ton of open receivers. Tom Brady hits about every single guy in stride. When it is there, he delivers on the pass. And I thought the Brissett had some big moments as well. I will say this about the Chargers, though, because Rob, a Charger fan, called in and referred to it as very Chargery. Okay, I understand that. But Malik Hooker, that was one of the best interceptions I think I've ever seen.
Catch, offense or defense, of the entire day.
Of the entire day. Yeah. OBJ and his $200,000 watch. Props to Malik Hooker, who came away with the one-handed catch.
How many times did you guys rewind it on your DVR? Because I saw it, and I said to my brother-in-law, did he catch that with one hand?
Didn't have to rewind it. It was on every social media platform.
Was it really?
All day long.
What an interception.
Besides seeing the final score of Ravens-Dolphins, that was what got the biggest reaction out of me. But to the Chargers being Chargery, I would say this. If you took who's playing with less, Andrew Luck not being a Colt, that's nothing with not having Derwin James, with not having Russell Okun, with... obviously, Melvin Gordon holding out, although they rush for 6 yards an average on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, not having Melvin Gordon, I don't know how much it mattered, but it's still a talented player that you do not have on the roster. There's probably, and they didn't have Badgley, their kicker either. So, if you actually looked at who was taking the field with less, especially with how impressive Jacoby Brissett was at times, the Chargers got a win. They got off to a 1-0 start versus a team that potentially on paper may have been better than they are.
I cannot stand when Keenan Allen pops up and gives it that stupid first down point.
Why?
It just
he was awesome yesterday.
He was. My God, his route running is just a thing of beauty.
You know, for a Raider fan to not like what Keenan Allen is doing while he's actually present and showing up seems like you should... you should be jealous.
What do you
number 13?
Wait, you're trying to make a connection between
what? I'm saying that the Raiders trade talented wide receivers like Amari Cooper, mm-hmm. or they go pick ones that ultimately secretly record their head coach and then turn it into a pretty damn good YouTube video.
Judson, he's not a Raider anymore. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, the wide receivers that the Raiders go after try to fight their general managers, get frostbite in the middle of summer.
He's not a member of the team.
And
he's,
can't find a
helmet. You're talking about New England Patriot now. It has nothing to do with the Raiders.
I mean, you could pop off if you want, but we'll see how good the Raiders look tonight without Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Quickly before the break, let's go to Adam. 844-570-1360. Hi, Adam. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Hey, I think one of the keys yesterday was just the seven for 11 and third down for the Chargers. Colts' inability to stop them, and then what was your take on Ebron's non-catch?
I just talked with Fletch about that before the show started. It was the right call.
What did you think, Adam?
I think if they do consistency, he didn't drop the ball. He kept the ball through the ground, through every... I don't know. I think it came down as a Colts fan. None of that matters. It was the third down. The third down killed us.
But here's the thing. If that referee in the end zone had ruled it a catch, then the Colts had a fighting chance, but he ruled it incomplete. So there was really little chance for them to get it overturned.
And he bobbled it on his way out of bounds. The ball was not in his possession.
But I thought that they had changed that somewhat as the continuation.
What is the catch?
Exactly. As Adam just said, I don't know. I mean, that's everyone on their couch. That's
nobody
Collinsworth
knows.
In the booth. I don't know. So if they would have called it a touchdown initially, would it have stayed or would it have been overturned?
It would have been too hard to overturn the other way. It was the total 50-50.
Yeah. And I do think that would you guys agree that the official should call it a touchdown and then allow it to be overturned instead of going the other way where it's not an automatic
review?
That's
what my feeling was. I thought it was a close enough of a play, and it was, yeah, bang, bang, but just rule it touchdown and then let the official, the review guy do the job. All right, former UCLA quarterback Corey Paws ran his mouth last week, and the Aztecs made him pay. What the win over UCLA means for the Red and Black and the Mountain West.
Hey, everybody, Darren Smith here. We start 12 noon today. We cannot wait to get on the air. So much to talk about. So much happening over the weekend with college football, pro football takeaways. We've got you covered. 12 noon, Extra 1360, FM 103.3.
Going for it. Handing off. I'm not sure they got it this time.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think they got it this time on the carry by Dorian Thompson-Robinson. No, the Aztecs hold on fourth down.
Kiapatizino, the monster of the Mesa, does it here in Pasadena.
Well, the monster of the Mesa, and that is going to stick, and I want to see that on friggin' T-shirts, although Kiapatizino will be the first guy to tell you it's not about me, it's about the team. And we'll talk with Rocky Long coming up at 7:30 about the big win.
A couple times he made it about him, but he deserved it. Just, he had the flex working towards that UCLA Bruins crowd.
Fletch and I are going out to practice again this week, and we're going to visit with Mr. Tizino and get a little more in-depth with makes the awesome linebacker for the Aztecs tick. Just a great day Saturday at the Rose Bowl. You were, and you said that you had an inkling it was going to be a good day for the Red and Black. Before the game even started.
Yeah, so we got up in the booth about 10 o'clock, and we did the pregame, Jared Tolfer and myself, we did the pregame live from the broadcast booth. So we were in Ted and Rich's seat and looking down on the field. And, I mean, besides the heat where when you stand in it, you feel like you're being poisoned. Like, that's how hot it is. Like, you know, there are times where, like, ooh, the sun feels really good on my face. And then there's Pasadena.
Now you know what it's like to be a roasted chicken.
Oh, my God. You're like, this is terrible for my body. Thank God I brought my big REI floppy hat to cover me. But I'm sitting there in the booth, and I don't, what is that mountain range right there? It's a beautiful sight. You know, you got the historic Rose Bowl. The San Gabriels. You walk in, and it's the Keith Jackson Broadcast Center. And so you have all this history, and then you have the current UCLA football team.
Oof.
So as we were sitting there, because, you know, we were looking down on the field for a good 2 hours plus, and it begins with no one on the field. Then you start to see players trickling out, and, you know, they're in just shorts and T-shirts, are warming up and running around, moving around. And so the UCLA Bruins, the number of players came out and just kind of throwing footballs around. And then a number of Aztecs players came out, and they were still in their sweatpants, and they just walked from the sideline that they came out of all the way from one end zone to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then that end zone and back. And it was a reminder of just kind of watching the Aztecs operate versus the Bruins operate. And it was a reminder that the Aztecs have a veteran-laden team, right? And as Ted Robinson told us on Friday, the Bruins have they are 50% underclassmen, freshmen and sophomore.
Yeah.
And it just, not only if you keep in mind that the Aztecs beat Pac-12 opponents on a pretty regular basis, but if their offense could get going, you felt like a veteran-laden team, and I understand what Pac-12 can recruit, and they may have pound-for-pound better athletes up and down their roster, but this isn't about, you know, winning the combine. This is about winning a football game. And if the Aztecs could outperform them from a team that understands playing in bigger games more on a regular basis and from an experience standpoint, that they would be able to win this football game. The Bruins marched right down the field and score. The Aztecs did not waver for 1 minute. And you felt like since that first score, the Aztecs virtually outplayed them for, you know, 3 7/8 quarters of football.
When you, and I said last week that when we got, Fletch had it in Hot or Not, will the Aztecs beat UCLA? And I said, no, they won't if they play like they played against Weber State, i.e. if they're stuck in the mud offensively. And then you look, and you mention it, they didn't blink when UCLA got on the board. And you look at the day Ryan Agnew had 23 of 31, 293 yards, a touchdown pass. You look at the game Kobe Smith had, 7 receptions, 131 yards, and a touchdown. And Juwan 20 carries for 41 yards, and obviously the ankle somewhat still bothering him. But in a week's time, and we talked with Jeff Horton last Friday, what have you seen this week as you're kind of trying to shift into that next gear to get that bad taste of Weber State out of your mouth? And he said, we've had a really good week of crisp practices, and there has been a sense of urgency. And to be able just to flip that switch and turn it around in a week's time, and to do what you do with your backs to the wall early on that scoreboard, that's because you have a bunch of senior leaders on that football team.
Rocky Long will join us in just under an hour. Aztecs head football coach Rocky Long will join us at 7:30. Rocky got the Gatorade treatment.
Oh, must have loved that.
He got that dumped on him. It was a great celebration. SDSU football, the at Go Aztecs, also the football Twitter account.
Did
so
you go
much
in the locker
video.
Room after the game?
I did not.
Oh, okay, could you hear them sing the fight song, though?
Yes. Well, I watched them sing it on the field.
They sing it on the field, but then they sing it again in the locker room. And the great thing is that the Bruins locker room is right next door. Oh! Don't worry about it, Bruins. It's going to get better. You got Oklahoma on Saturday.
Yeah. Where do you think Corey Paz watched the game from?
I hope a hole in the ground, cowering in shame.
I didn't watch your guys' game against, what is it, Weber State? Yeah. I don't even know how to pronounce it.
I don't even know.
And then he goes on to say, you know, it always gets chippy when UCLA plays San Diego State and Fresno State because there's a lot of guys on both of those teams who wish they were playing at UCLA. My ass.
You know,
are you kidding me?
You do hear that a lot. I understand that. But the fact that they are now 5-1 in their last six games against Pac-12 opponent makes... It just makes, because you and I both listened to that. That was an interview done on Loose Cannons where it was like, has this dude not paid attention for a number of years? Colin Coward's going to get a little bit of the same treatment because, you know, I'm a big-time Coward fan, but it's like, Colin, you missed on this one. It's one thing if the Bruins would have won, but he said San Diego State never beats, he said Power 5 or Pac-12.
He said Pac-12.
It's like, no, it's the exact opposite.
They've won five of their last six. Yeah.
It's like the Pac-12 never beat San Diego State.
His exact words are, I'm going to swallow the points on this one because, you know, San Diego State never beats Pac-12 teams.
Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong.
So wrong.
Also, I also think that Weber State on any given day could beat UCLA. I think that, you know, Rocky, he told us a lot that Weber State's a good football team.
Yes,
he
did.
And I think we see FBS versus FCS, which is fair to do. The Aztecs should beat Weber State. But it doesn't mean that Weber State can't beat a lot of teams on a lot of different days. And so Corey Paz, who may not know how to pronounce it, will just know a team that you don't know how to pronounce, I really do think could beat UCLA as well.
They're just, you know what? You're seeing the youth of UCLA, and you're seeing, you know, a lot of guys who follow UCLA football had said Jim Mora left the cupboard bare, and Chip Kelly was basically going back to square one, and then double that because Chip Kelly has that system he wants to run.
Yeah.
So he needs those type of guys in there, and it's going to take a couple recruiting classes for him to finally be able, with all the shifts and all that stuff, to actually execute that offense.
We love the game of football so much that it's an overreaction Monday, and we often at times just react to what is right in front of our face. But as we were doing the pregame show, we talked a lot about, let's not forget, Ryan Agnew was a starting quarterback. In fact, his first start as an Aztec when they beat a nationally ranked Arizona State team last year. That Arizona State team beat UCLA. Ryan Agnew was the starting quarterback when the Aztecs went on the road and won on the blue turf where no one wins against Boise State. So you can see the offense in a 6-0 win over Weber State. And I saw the reaction on social media about Ryan Agnew. But again, you got to keep in mind that he's played in some big games, had some really impressive wins, and this is absolutely one he'll never forget.
And you know, all guys have bad days. It happens in football.
Well, have them in a win.
Have them in a win, and it's never perfect. And I think the bigger story is, how do you learn from it, and how do you kind of turn the ship around and get it going in the right direction?
We'll get to Antonio Brown and the Patriots upcoming at 7 o'clock as well. Has the NFL already given them the Super Bowl 54 trophy or what? NFL Whip Around is back. That's upcoming at 7:15. Rocky Long will join us at 7:30. It's Monday. It's best of the weekend. I saw a quarterback play that I have never heard of before, and I could not turn the television off. We'll tell you that is coming up next.
Calvin Tizzino, the monster of the...
FM 103.3.
There's a lot more that happens over a weekend than we can fit in a three-hour show.
You have got to be shaving me. That is cartoonish. That only happens in cartoons.
Mike Costa and Judson Richards give you the best of the rest. With the best of the weekend.
You know, you really can't fault Hartman for that. Did you see my tweet Friday? It was about noon. It was after he apologized.
Excited to see him play on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I was like, as much as I've enjoyed the circus that is your Raiders, Costa, mm-hmm. which we will have tonight on Extra 1360, by the way. Can we check each other's bedtimes?
Oh, tonight?
Yeah. Are we staying up a little? Are we gonna work through the fog together?
At 8 p.m. right?
No,
it's 7:20.
It'll probably push back. It usually is like 7:30.
I will alert you right now. I'm gonna have two eyes. They're gonna look like boiled onions.
Okay,
but you know, just pound the coffee. Maybe I'll bring in donuts to make us feel better about it, win or lose. But yeah, I'm there all the way.
I expect the Broncos to be up by at least 20 mid second quarter. So.
It's going to be a very Baltimore-Miami type of game, so I'm down. At the end of the second quarter, I'm out.
Yeah.
Asleep.
But I tweeted, I'm glad that Antonio Brown apologized. As much as a circus as it is, the league is better when Antonio Brown is playing games. Like, I actually wanted to see what he looked like tonight.
I did that, yeah.
And then they find him like another $200,000, and we'll get to it at 7 o'clock, but you can't blame Hartman for that. Look at it. Like,
well, no, we all thought, okay, he apologized, he's going to go out there and play, and my God, what a weekend it brought as far as the AB story is concerned.
Well, the first response to me was, you never know what could happen between now and Monday. And it's like, you're right. And then it happened. And it's like, I'm watching this YouTube video. We got to talk about this audio. It's like,
oh,
is
my
he,
Lord.
So now he's cleared of all of his fines.
He is psychotic. He's psychotic.
Or he's a genius.
Well, he lost himself a lot of money. I understand that rich is rich.
Right, right.
But I'll take 30 mil over 9 mil. I'm no math genius, you know?
No, I think 30 is more than 9.
Yeah. Costa, what was your best of the weekend?
My best of the weekend was something I saw on Twitter, and it was at a high school game somewhere. I don't even know the teams. I don't even know what part of the country.
Way to do your research.
But there was a player, like a really awesome, like five-star recruit, stud linebacker.
Yes.
And there was a little boy, I believe he had Down syndrome. And he's standing there shaking, like you could tell. And the guy got on his knee and he signed his gloves and he gave them to the little boy and then gave him just this big hug. And it was just like, you know, thank you for reaffirming my faith in humanity. Mm-hmm. It was one of those God is good. It was awesome to see. That was one of them. And of course, waking up and having an NFL Sunday ticket.
Yeah. The player is a five-star recruit. You're right. Commit to the Arkansas Razorbacks.
That's what it was.
And the kid is just the biggest Razorbacks fan of all time.
Okay.
Very cool.
Awesome to see.
Fletch, your best for the weekend?
I had the Kendall in town all weekend, and we had a blast.
Chickamau?
What?
Chickamau?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Baby.
Shut up. No, we went to Breakfast Republic, though, which might be my favorite place in the world.
I saw the picture. You guys have a little champagne?
A little champagne, a little beer. It's cruising, man. Pre-game in the NFL. It.
Beer at breakfast.
Is she an NFL fan?
Yeah, she has a fantasy football team. She was golden. She kicked everybody's butt this week.
Good for her.
My best weekend was beating Fletch, who, as Matt Camp reminded us, has a lot to say.
Goodness gracious, our two teams, man.
Oh, it was a battle of the toilet bowls between the two of our teams.
I'm sorry.
No, I won. Hey, 1-0 is 1-0, man.
Right, yeah. Right.
1-0 is 1-0.
Which you tweeted out, the picture of Cam Newton post-game.
What's going on with Cam?
It's like Audrey Hepburn called. She wants her scarf back, bro. What the F? Who is dressing you?
And you can't
Who is
see
dressing
this,
you?
But the suit that he's wearing is shorts. He had shorts on with that.
Yeah, Cam's going for a different MVP this year, most valuable perm.
That hair. I like the hair. I'll be honest. I dig the hair. Well, my best of the weekend was watching the Aztecs win that game. I ran out on the field to shoot some video. The video was out on Extra 1360. You can see the elation on all of them, especially Jeff Horton, because he did say
a little redemption.
The 6-0 win, he was embarrassed by the offense's output. And you talk about what a way to bounce back to beat a team that the program had never beaten before, albeit you're hanging a little bit of the past on the current Aztecs. Of never beating UCLA with a team that is now 5-1 in their last six against Pac-12. So, but to do anything for the first time is great. I actually ran up to Coach Horton after the game on the field, just congratulated him very quickly. And so that was a lot of fun to watch. And the USC quarterback, did you see any of this?
What's his name? Zedon Glovis or something like that?
You nailed it. Yep, yeah, that's exactly it.
The kid?
Yep, that's him. No, so JT Daniels goes down with torn ACL, and I didn't even know that this... I honestly did not even know that USC was playing Stanford, but I was trying to unwind, and I'm watching this kid. Stanford gets out to a great start. Keaton Slovis.
That's him.
Is his name. K-E-D-O-N.
Kid.
Keaton Slovis. And this kid is bawling out. I could not turn off the game. I couldn't keep my eyes open, but I was like, I wanted to continue to see series with him. I think that USC's got something special in this game.
Well, and how cool is it JT is it Daniels or Daniel?
Daniels.
JT Daniels, yeah. The quarterback who tore his ACL last week, he's done for the season. He wrote like a page of notes for him and said, okay, this is how you go about the week preparing to start at quarterback for USC. And the guys who were calling the game said, you know, there's a lot of guys who'd be like, F that, he ain't taking my job, I ain't going to help him. A full page, handwritten notes for him, they left in his locker saying, Monday, Tuesday, this is how you go about it.
Right.
That is awesome, teammate.
And I also, speaking of young quarterbacks getting opportunities, I was somewhat impressed with Gardner Minshew, which is a name that I don't think I've ever said on the radio before, nor have I ever heard of him. Because I was like, who is the Jags backup?
I had no clue it was Gardner
Minshew. For $1,000, could you guess?
No, I would just give you $1,000. No way. No way I would have guessed. You see Nick Foles go down.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles said after the game, listen, nothing against Chris Jones, man. He wasn't trying to hurt me. It's just he needs to sack the quarterback. And it's just the way he landed. Broken clavicle. They don't know how long he's going to be out.
And they were former teammates.
In case you're right.
Was that a penalty? Because remember, you're supposed to do like the tackle and roll.
It was not a penalty, but a lot of people are saying it should have been.
Right. Yeah. Tyreek Hill kind of got the same driven into the ground treatment.
And the vitriol on Twitter... And who was it? Miles? No, it was it Jalen Ramsey who hit him on the sideline, I think.
It was Jalen Ramsey. People then he hit him again when he got up.
And people are saying, Jalen Ramsey, thank you so much for getting this piece of S out of the league.
Yeah, there was a lot of beef in that game. Miles Jack got ejected.
Yeah, when you swing at the guy and punch him right in front of a referee, it's going to happen. And you know a lot of flags have been thrown and the referee has to go to the hat.
Yes. It's like, what's next? The shirt? Is it the shoe?
A shoe, the bean bag. Yeah, not a good look for the Jacksonville Jaguars as far as, you know, them supposedly being in the conversation this year. All right, Antonio Brown is now the Patriots' headache, but the C word is being used regarding his new team, and that word is collusion. We'll explain how a signing may not have been on the up and up.